It's good to see some old faces, and I don't mean just old faces. I'm resembling that remark. It's good to see some past faces. I haven't been here in church in a little while. We missed you. Just want to let you know that. I'm excited about the year 2022. I believe it's going to be a watershed moment in the history of our world. I think we're going to see some things in 22 that we never thought was possible in our lifetime, both good and maybe not so good things. I believe God is going to pour out His Holy Spirit in ways that is just going to astound us, and I don't believe it's going to be reserved for the big churches. I believe that His Spirit is going to pour out beginning in the small churches, the salt of the earth. I'm so excited to see what He's going to do. Today being the first Sunday of the new year, I think in order to set our steps in the right direction for 2022, that we should consider the fear of the Lord as our jumping off point for everything that proceeds from this day moving forward. The fear of the Lord in 2022. I think that should be our rallying cry. Yes, I believe that we need to be leaving a legacy like I spoke about last week. How did everybody do with that? Did it give you something to think about kind of as we move towards the new year? I know I thought about it, and just I want to make sure that I'm leaving the right kind of legacy for not only my kids and grandchildren, but for those I worship with. I want to be remembered. That dash in between my birth and death, I want it to count for something. And I know many of you, I heard, got some feedback, and you're right there with me. But undergirding every aspect of our life, including the legacy that we leave, should be an ongoing fear of the Lord. Now, I didn't wake up this morning or this week and just decide that we need to talk about the fear of the Lord. It's actually been on my heart for quite a while. I just didn't know when the Lord wanted to bring it to everyone, including myself. And I had such a strong impression on my spirit that we need to do it at the beginning of the year. We need to set the tone for what 2022 is going to be like and beyond. And we need to set the tone and set our pace on solid footing. And by solid footing, I mean that when the ground beneath us begins to shake and everything that we've been familiar with in our life begins changing and not necessarily for the better, we will need to know with whom our trust lies. We will need to stand firm on the promises of God, like the song we just sang a few moments ago. God makes special promises, blessings, and He has benefits to His people who fear Him. And I'm going to show you that this morning. And even during difficult times, God fulfills His promises. Do you know that God fulfilling His promises isn't dependent upon circumstances? It isn't dependent on everything has to be good and then God fulfills His promises. No, God will fulfill His promises, especially in the darkness. That's why He's God. That's why He's God. And I do not want us to miss any of God's special promises this year. For some, what we talk about this morning will be a reminder. But for most, you will be learning about the fear of the Lord for the first time. So the message that I bring you today and next week is called Learning the Fear of the Lord. This sermon will also precede the series that I'm going to teach on in the coming weeks regarding socialism and the theology of democracy. It is impossible to have a democratic country run honestly and transparently without the fear of God. It's impossible because man's intellect will always be running things. And when man gets involved, his pride gets involved and things get turned upside down. And we've seen it happen in just a little over 200 years. So this message will tie directly into that message. So to get started, the first thing that we need to cover is, what is the fear of the Lord and what is it not? There's a lot of confusion in this area. In the English language, we have one word to describe being frightened, and it is the word fear. In the Hebrew language, There are 14 different words for fear. Did you know that? In the Hebrew language, 14 different words. Fear is expressed in many different ways. And it's mentioned over 295 times in the Bible. So when we talk of the fear of the Lord, we need to be aware of which word is being used. The most common word used in the Old Testament for the fear of the Lord is the Hebrew word pronounced phonetically, Yahweh. It sounds like somebody from the South, doesn't it? Yahweh. Sounds a little like Yahweh. I don't think that's a coincidence. But it's spelled Y-A-R-E, but pronounced Yahweh. It means to make afraid, to have dread, and exhibit fearful reverence. For the Christian, it speaks to a reverence that we need to have as we draw near to the Lord and we conduct our lives under His watchful gaze. Another word for fear used in the Bible is the Hebrew word pakad. Can you say pakad with me? Pakad. Pakad means absolutely frightened. It is terror turned up a notch to the point of panic. It is the overreactive and the often irrational fear that stems from worries about what could happen, about the worst case scenario that could be real or could be imagined. This is the kind of fear that as a Christian, the Bible says that we are not to have, especially when it comes to the fear of the Lord. It causes us to distrust Him, this type of fear. Pakad is the fear that is cast out when the perfect love of Christ comes in. When Paul, writing to Timothy, says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's talking about this fear, because this fear is an unholy fear, the pakad, the fear, this one. And it contains no holiness. I did say that right. Did I get that right? Pakad contains no holiness. By the way, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I was up watching my boys put it on Ole Miss, and I ended up staying up too late. So just bear with me a little bit this morning. So to recap what I've just said, for a Christian and a child of God, the proper fear, as in the fear of the Lord, is the word Yahweh. And as I said, it involves being afraid, having dread, and being in fearful reverence of God, but in a good sense. And let me show you how it works, and then we'll dive into Scripture. And let me quickly say that if you do your Bible studies, you'll often turn to concordance. You'll look up the Greek word for fear, and it comes from a Greek word called phobia, or it's phobos, as we will read a lot of it. And that's where we get our word like phobia. Where our phobias come from, it comes from the Greek word phobos, which is referring to fear. Now, the Greeks just use one word like the English word all the way through the Bible. You read phobos here, phobos there, phobos everywhere. And like we put fear there and everywhere. And it's dependent on the context that you understand what that fear is. But the Hebrew words, they have all different kinds for fear. So you know specifically what they're talking about. You guys with me? Just a little side note. So regarding godly fear, when God's children fear Him, we are in essence being mindful to honor Him in both our thoughts and our actions. We are in effect, as we learned recently, we are worshiping Him when we are mindful of God in our thought and our actions. Fearing God with a good fear means being aware that our choices can either bring glory to Him, we know that, or project disrespect for who He is, and even worse, show an ingratitude for what He has done in our life. When we dread God, it is not terror that we are to have. That's not the type of fear that we approach God with. The word dread means to fear united with respect. It's like fear and respect are married to each other, and that's how we approach God. Is anybody here familiar with Mike Tyson? Do you remember Iron Mike? Iron Mike was a beast. And if you were a pro boxer, you couldn't fear him. He's an opponent. But you better respect him if you get in the way of one of his hooks. Many times his fights ended within the first few seconds of the first round. People came in and they didn't respect him and they got clobbered. It's a little bit like that with God, and I'll show you how. It's respect, but it's a little uneasiness. In The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe, by C.S. Lewis, Susan asked Miss Beaver about the character of Aslan, the keeper of Narnia. He represents both God the Father and Jesus in the story. This is what Mrs. Beaver says to Susan regarding God's character, and I want to kind of give you a picture of his character. Ms. Beaver replies, Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe? Said Mrs. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He's the king, I tell you. We must never forget that the God we so often take for granted is more than a gentle lion. That he is more than a gentle lamb. He is an untamed lion. In all of God's safeness, we can tend to forget that he is a God of impossible, unimaginable, and unmatchable power. He is also long-suffering. And because of this, some think that they're getting away with certain things. We do well to remember that the Lord is a God of justice who will judge the entire human race. And this should be reason enough to produce godly fear in his children and in the world. But sadly, in the world it does not. It is a sobering and absolute truth that God is constantly aware of our actions and our motives, both good and bad. And he will be held accountable for those actions. We will be held accountable for those actions, both now and on the day of our personal judgment. That's a sobering thought. Yet a healthy fear should never keep us from approaching him. We are in a love relationship with our Lord, as a parent is with their child or a groom with his bride. Because of this relationship, we do not need fear his wrath. God's anger has already been poured out on Jesus Christ, as I spoke about in the elements we received this morning. Now we experience his presence and mercies that are new every morning. In fact, fear of the Lord is tied to the love of the Lord. And if we love him, we will fear him. But for those who do not bow their knee or their heart to the Lord and exhibit fear now, they are enemies of God. One day they will stand before him and they will give an account of their life and why it was that they rejected the Son. They will have no hope of self-justification on that day. And for that reason, they should rightly fear the second death, which is called hell in the Bible. Their fear will be one of terror, as the word pakad denotes. It says in Luke 12:5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Well, I hope I've given you some idea of what fear is regarding fear of the Lord. I hope you kind of catch a picture of that. Now I want to show you from Scripture how it is that we fear the Lord. That is, what does fearing the Lord look like practically? As we look at Scripture, I will also point out the benefits that come with fearing the Lord. All of the verses we'll look at contain promises and blessings attached to them. It really is exciting to see what the Lord has in store for those who fear him. Next week, I'm going to show you what the consequences of not fearing the Lord are, and then complete the teaching by what the Bible says on how to learn to fear the Lord. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. We'll have it on the screen, but I'd like you to see it in your Bibles And maybe just circle the word fear as we come to it, and then circle the blessings that come with it as well. Genesis 22, will be, look at verse 12. This is Abraham about to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Most here are familiar with the story, so we won't lay too much context. But here's what the Lord said to Abraham. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God." What was it that Abraham did and was about to do that exhibited that he feared God? "Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So Abraham's hand had just been held back from sacrificing Isaac. What it was that we are to see here is that Abraham displayed complete trust and obedience in God's word to him. Abraham knew that God would either supply another sacrifice or he would raise his son up from the dead, because God had given Abraham the word that he would bear the son of promise. Isaac was the carry on the promise that Abraham would be a great father. And if Isaac was to be killed, where would that promise go? So Abraham trusted in God to fulfill his promise. And even when it looked like Abraham, he's right here, he's about to bring the knife down. "All right, God, I know you're gonna stop. He was going through with it because he trusted in the Lord. And as the Lord saw his trust, he says, "That is the fear of the Lord." So there, when we fear the Lord, there is an element of trust in God's word and trust in him. When we trust in God to take us through the storms and for our daily sustenance and to provide and protect us, we are walking in the fear of the Lord. When we trust and obey his word instead of our own understanding, we are walking in the fear of the Lord. Now flip over a couple books to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses is giving final instructions to the Hebrews before he turns over the leadership reins to Joshua. Beginning in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 6, this is Moses speaking. "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." That's the blessing, that their days may be prolonged. In that idea of prolonging days, there is the idea of one being prosperous and having an emotionally fulfilling life. And that promise is made to those who obey the commandments of God. And fear of the Lord is tied directly to obedience. Do you see that in this passage? Therefore, the fear of the Lord is tied directly to a long life. It is generally understood that one wants to have a long life. When one's life is cut off short, that is not a good thing. They want to have a long life. So when we are walking in obedience to God's commands, including the commands of Christ, we are walking in the fear of the Lord. In the next one, turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 25. If you just open your Bible up right in the middle, you'll be right in Psalms. I love this next promise. Psalm 25, verse 14. It reads, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." What's the secret of the Lord? The word secret implies a friendship, a confidential relationship, someone that you can trust. Friends tell each other secret things, don't we? Husbands and wives, we tell each other secret things. How awesome it is to have the Lord share his secrets with us, is it not? Maybe we need wisdom with a particular issue in life. I know that I need wisdom constantly. Well, the Lord whisper it to us because we fear the Lord. Maybe we need wisdom, maybe we need instruction and guidance. And because we fear the Lord, he shares guidance with us. You know, I've always wanted to have Have you heard of the gift of knowledge? It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've always wanted the gift of knowledge, and I pray, and as the Lord gives you insight into issues in people's lives and your own life, He says, hey, this person is dealing with such and such, and so they need prayer here. That's like how the gift of knowledge generally works. I've always wanted that, and I'm still praying for it. Is it possible that according to this verse we're reading here, that when we have the fear of the Lord in our life, God will begin speaking to us His secrets, the gift of knowledge? Just kind of interesting. It's interesting. So I think as we practice and we begin move as a church in the fear of the Lord this year, that the Lord will be sharing secrets with us in different ways. I pray that the gift of knowledge would be poured out. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. Look at Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 7. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, it's not the most intelligent person who will figure out the mysteries of life. It is the one who fears the Lord and gets their counsel from the Lord. Because as we fear Him, He shares His secrets with us. He gives us knowledge. He guides our thoughts, our hearts, and our actions. He brings solutions to problems, and He makes understanding simple for us so that we choose the right path instead of the wrong path of life. But according to the word here, I'm just going to use a little slang. But stupid people despise being taught by God's word, nor do they fear the Lord. So they reject His instruction and they flaunt their own wisdom, yet they ultimately fail. Don't be a follower of a leader who does not fear the Lord. Is it any wonder that we have the problems we have in this nation with all the foolish people we have making decisions in Washington and Springfield? They don't fear the Lord. And therefore, there is not the secret knowledge of God imparted to them. They're not walking in wisdom. They're walking in man's wisdom. And we wonder why things continue to get fouled up and worse. Like, what are they thinking? How many have said that over the last 6 months? Really, let's see a show of hands that we've said those words. What are they thinking? Yeah, everybody, we're all thinking it. These people don't have any wisdom. And the reason they don't have any wisdom is because there is no fear of the Lord. And all the things we're seeing going on is because of a lack of fear of the Lord. Why do we see so many bad ideas these days? That's a good idea. No wisdom. It seems that they run to evil, perpetually running to evil. There's a good way and there's a wrong way, and they're running to the wrong way. The Bible has something to say about that in Proverbs 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There is wisdom in fearing the Lord. And the next verse ties in. Flip over to Proverbs 16, 6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. If we are truly walking in the fear of the Lord, then we will depart from evil. It's simple, really. The wisdom that accompanies those who fear the Lord helps us to know evil from good. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, and we are confronted with choices daily, good, bad. To know good, when we're walking in the fear of the Lord says, that's the path you need to take. Do not take that path. That path leads to destruction. My child, hear my words. Take this path. And we walk in the fear of the Lord. We say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I don't even want to think about going down that path. But when we are not walking in the fear of the Lord, we come to those decisions. And the devil's right there. And the devil says, hey, I think it's a good idea if you go down this path over here. We say, well, that sounds good to me. And we don't exercise any wisdom. And there we go, off down that path, making a bad decision. But if we walk in the fear of the Lord, we know what His Word says. We trust in His Word. We walk in obedience. I'm telling you, life is so much better when we can hear God speaking to us and we know what His Word says. It will guide us. It will guide us. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. What do you think Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, what do you think he means by riches? I think he means riches, don't you? I think he's talking about money. He's talking about wealth and honor and life, that life is a long life. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we are humbling ourselves to Him. When we fear the Lord, we're saying, God, I fear you. I'm gonna humble myself before you, and I'm gonna submit my life to your word. I fear you, and I fear not doing what this word says. That's the attitude of the heart that humility produces. And in humility, we lay our pride at His feet and we say, not my will, but thy will be done. Riches and honor. It says it right here. Now, I'm not a wealth and prosperity guy, name it and claim it guy, but I'm a read it and believe it guy. It says riches and honor come with the fear of the Lord. It says it right here. And because wisdom comes with God and His secrets, He gives us ideas to create wealth, to make good financial decisions. Does anybody know who this guy is? Makes me want to take a nap just looking at him. You know how he made his millions? He got saved and became a Christian, began walking in the fear of the Lord. And God gave him a dream to make that thing he's holding in his hand and how to do it. God gave him supernatural wisdom to create MyPillow. And I thank the Lord for that man, and I thank the Lord for God's wisdom. I have one of those things. Who has a MyPillow in here? Look at that. It came because God gave him wisdom. He feared the Lord. Riches and honor. You want to make some money in life? To sow seeds in God's kingdom? To be a giver and really bless others? Walk in the fear of the Lord. And watch what He does with your ideas and your creativity. Look at Psalm 34:7. You'll have to go back now to the previous book. Psalm 34, verse 7. I tell you, there are benefits when we fear the Lord. Here's what this says. I love this verse. I decree it all the time. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. How many people want angels encamped all around them this morning? I do. I don't want them ever to leave. I don't want them using a MyPillow and going to sleep on the job. I want them all awake all the time, encamped around me with their swords drawn. Fear of the Lord is where that begins. That's an amazing promise. You want protection when you're feeling scared? Walk in the fear of the Lord. Claim this verse. Lord, encamp your angels around me in the name of Jesus. We could go on and on this morning. Remember, 295 instances of fear in the Bible. Many deal with the consequences, though, of not having the fear or a fear of the Lord. And again, we'll look at this next week. But finally, I want to look at a New Testament verse that speaks to the fear of the Lord in the corporate body of believers. And we'll finish up with this. Turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 31. I think it would make a great Bible study. Maybe I'll do it. To do a complete study of the fear of the Lord and all the verses that speak to the fear of the Lord in the Bible. We will grow by it. That is one of the ways that we grow. So Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, and they were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Do you see what multiplied them? Why God multiplied them? They were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This is so important. As we seek to walk in the fear of the Lord as a church and in the presence of His Holy Spirit, God will multiply us. It's His promise. And it takes a group effort. And it begins with the fear of the Lord with each of us. We each comprise the church. The church is not the building. The building is the building. That's where we meet. The church is those sitting around you right now who are the children of God. And this is so important. Choosing to loosen our grip on the things of the world and grasp hold of the things that God loves will usher in blessings for this church, especially in 2022 and beyond. A church that walks in the fear of the Lord. Talk about leaving a legacy. I would like that to be said about us. Whew, I don't know. They walk in the fear of the Lord. And God blesses them like crazy. So do you understand why it is important to fear the Lord? Jesus is coming back soon. And things are going to get pretty rough before He does. To make it through the days ahead, those who fear the Lord need not worry. You can sleep peacefully. You don't need to worry if you fear the Lord. Because when we're busy fearing the Lord, we won't have time to fear other things. Our sleep will be sweet. The message of fearing the Lord for believers is not about God shaking a finger at us. You're so bad. You haven't feared me. I don't think he has an Irish accent, but maybe he does. Maybe he's on the big throne. He said, you're not fearing me. I think that's Scottish, actually. That's my Alistair Begg imitation. But seriously, God doesn't command us to fear him because he wants us trembling and shaking like a dog that just messed on the carpet. He wants us to have our best life, to have an abundant life that prospers, where angels encamp around us, where He reveals His secret knowledge to us, where He grows us in riches and those things, an abundant life. So He says, fear me, walk in my ways, listen to my voice, and I'll steer you down the right path. Life will be better than you could ever expected. That's the God we serve. That's His heart. Now, if we don't know Him, if we're on the outside looking in and we have no fear of God and we act like there is no God, there is a terrible expectation of judgment coming. But not for those that sit here this morning. For most of you, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. These promises that we spoke about this morning, and I'll end here. They come not to those who pick and choose their way through His commandments, but instead for those who take their relationship with the Lord seriously and they love Him. Fearing the Lord matters. That should be our banner. Fearing the Lord matters. Not fearing Him has consequences. And I want to leave us with this morning. In 2022, to make it your objective to walk with me as we walk in the fear of the Lord together. And here's what it says in Psalm 112. Verses 1 through 3. It says, praise the Lord. And there's an exclamation point after it. It means, get excited. Blessed is the man and woman who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Those are the promises for those who fear the Lord. It's a good thing. Please endeavor with me to begin walking in just a fearful and a humble expectation of the Lord's presence. Amen. Let's stand and pray.